Amen. Well, it's good to see everybody out at the homebrew meeting. Amen. For the month of November. The month of November, where in America we have a thing called Thanksgiving. Of course, every day should be Thanksgiving, but we celebrate that this coming Thursday. And for all of my American friends that will be listening over the internet to this, once it's posted on our website, I wish you a happy Thanksgiving. And also, before I forget, I just want to thank everybody that prayed for us, for Karen and I, while we were in Bulgaria, Macedonia, and Romania. And also, there will be a PowerPoint presentation that I will post on the website. It should be right on the homepage, and you'll be able to look and see all of your Christian brothers and sisters in those three countries and how the Lord kept us. And it was just a tremendous, tremendous trip. And the Lord did a lot of things. I was really impressed in Bulgaria. I shared in a conference, and my topic was unity. And on that Sunday, the Lord brought an entire church of about 150 people from Ruse down to Silistra to hear what I had to say about unity. And it was just amazing that some of the things that God did. Amen. Well, I'm going to go ahead and get into our teaching for tonight. And we'll be looking at Wilderness Truths for Modern Times. This will be number 38. And as we do, we kind of look at a couple points that we looked at last month, and that gets our mind and our spirit and our heart kind of moving back into what we were talking about. And so I have 4 points. I have 4 points from last month that would help us to get going. Amen. And the first point is as truth enters and works in our lives, it will bring a divine order in us. As we allow truth to enter and work in our lives, it will bring a divine, and that's God's divine order in our life. Unless truth can enter our life, there will not be any divine order in our life. Our life will be out of order, and then God can't do the things that He wants to do in our life. Amen? The next point is a very, very powerful point is, if our life is filled with God's intention, then it must come under God's authority and the order that He's prescribed in our life. If our life is filled with God's intentions, then it must come into God's order. There must be that order that God is looking for in our life if His intentions will be fulfilled for us. Amen? And the third point is learning God's order and adjusting to it brings victory. Learning God's order and adjusting to it. Because I don't know about you, when God begins to work in my life and starts to set some things in order, there's an adjustment period that I have to have in my life, and I have to adjust to what God is doing. If I adjust to Him, then there will be victory. If I do not adjust to Him, well, all I know is there's no defeat in God. Amen?
Amen.
There is no defeat in God. If you're looking for defeat in God, it's found outside of God. But defeat is only found when we do not adjust to what God is doing in our life. And then the defeat is not God's defeat. It's defeat in us in not doing what God wants. And the last point, a very, very important point, is just because we are brought into the wilderness to learn does not guarantee our success. The children of Israel, and of course the genesis of this teaching is Wilderness Truths for Modern Times. We will look at all 8 wildernesses, but God brought the children of Israel into the wildernesses, and they never learned. There was learning and ever learning, as Paul said. They never got it. Only Joshua and Caleb ever entered the promised land. Just because God brought them to the wilderness to learn did not guarantee their success, because they did not learn. They did not adjust. They did not do the things that God wanted them to learn. And so, in a lot of lives, even though there was victories along the way, when it was all said and done, failure happened. In Hebrews, the Bible tells us that their carcasses fell in the wilderness due to unbelief. Wow. Amen. Wilderness Truths for Modern Times. We'll start with Matthew 11:30, very, very familiar verse. It says, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Sweetheart, can I have some water, please? Thank you very much. "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Notice there's a yoke and a burden. Anytime there is a yoke in our life, there's always a burden. The yoke and the burden, they go hand to hand. Before we went ahead and we went to Bulgaria, Macedonia, and Romania, God put a burden on me to talk about unity, because there was problems in this town in Bulgaria that I kind of knew about. I didn't understand what was going on, but there was a new church, and there was other churches. And so God put this burden on me to speak about unity, and God yoked me into that burden. God yoked me. I couldn't get out of that. It was a yoking, and I was in there with God. And anytime God puts a burden on you, He's also going to put you in the yoke. Amen. Two in the yoke. The yoke is always for two. The yoke is always for two. Truth always has two aspects. So when we look at truth and we look at the yoke, there's always two aspects. And the first is, truth is always from God's perspective, never from our perspective. And the other aspect of truth, when you look at the two things in the yoke, is it's always progressive. Those points are very, very important. That truth is always two aspects. It's always from God's perspective, and truth is always, always progressive. The believer must always be tied into God. It is strange, this hookup between God and man. Amen? Let's get a drink of water here. Now we see, and we know in Matthew, later on we find out what the yoke is for. The yoke is for learning, not doing. Later on in Matthew we find, I think it's in 11:31 or 32, it says, "Learn of me. Learn how meek and lowly I am." The yoke of the Lord is for learning and not for doing. The Amalekites were killing the Israelites, but when Moses held up his hand, Israel prevailed. When he dropped his hands, Amalekites prevailed. Exodus 17:11. It is not just Moses swaying the battle, and it's not just God. It was both yoked together. God is not going to plow the whole field alone. So that's kind of a theme that I would like for us to talk about, is when we come into the yoke of the Lord, when we get involved with the Lord, it's going to be us and the Lord working together. God can only do on earth as man engages with Him. God can only do on earth as man engages with Him. And when I came to this point, I started to think about the wasted time that I have had on my part. Now, knowing that we work together with God, and God can only do what I do, and so I thought, my gosh, how much of God's time have I wasted? Man. You know, we can even measure a difference of where we should be in God. Because here we are on this timeline, and this is where God wants us to be in His intention. And here we are, and if we're only this far, then we are this much away from God's intention for us. And so when we think about God and us working together, I wonder how much of time that I have wasted in my disobedience or not doing, not making my adjustment to the Lord. Wow, that was kind of a scary thought, Ray, and I just kind of said, okay, I'm going to think about that a little later. But, you know, it was a sobering point that, you know, that there's areas in my life that maybe I haven't adjusted in and I need to, you know, come up to. And then I have caused some wasted time on God's part. Amen. Take this yoke upon you and learn to move together with the Lord. The Lord knows His place in the yoke. The question is, do we know our place? And the Lord always works with man. First verse here, Matthew 16:20 says, "And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them. Notice that's underlined. The Lord working with them and confirming the word and signs following. Mark did not say they worked with the Lord. Amen? The reason why the Lord can work with them and us is that we are in the yoke together. God is waiting for us to get in the yoke with Him. I remember saying, this man was praying and he was saying, God, bless the hands of my work. And God looked down and said, do something. And that's true. God is waiting for us to get involved with what He is doing, not what we want to have done. God is waiting. God is waiting for us to come into that yoke so we can start working together the things that He wants. Amen? The Lord does not work alone. Jesus and God occupied the same yoke during Christ's earthly ministry. And it takes two, God and you, God and us, to do those things that God wants us to do. And I think that's maybe why the church has maybe lost the witness in America and in other places, because God is in the yoke and the members of the church, well, they're not in the same yoke with the Lord, ready to do the things that God wants. They're ready to do things, but they're not ready to do the things that God wants. And there'll be nothing done of God. There'll be some good works done, but there'll be nothing done of God unless we come into the yoke with the Lord and begin to work. And notice right here in Mark, it says that signs and wonders will follow. No signs without the work, without working with the Lord. If we want signs and wonders and all of these stuff, you know, following, well, that only happens when we get involved with what the Lord is doing and working it together. Amen? Mm-hmm. A covenant is between two parties. A covenant is between two parties. It is to be kept by both sides. Both parties are responsible. Both parties are responsible for any covenant that we enter into. And when we get involved with the Lord, when we come into the yoke with the Lord, both parties, God is responsible and we are responsible in doing that which needs to be done. If either party fails to comply, the covenant will not work. It will not work. The correctness of one party in the covenant does not ensure the correctness of the other party in the covenant. Amen? And we can look at that in marriages, right? You have two people enter into a covenant of matrimony. One is unfaithful, right? Wow. The correctness of one party in the covenant does not ensure the correctness of the other party. God is faithful. That does not guarantee the faithfulness of the other party. God is always faithful to us, but that does not guarantee our faithfulness to Him. Amen? God is always faithful, but the question is, are we faithful to Him? The very fact that God made a covenant with man and does not guarantee the success. God has done His part in every area of our life, in every question, in His part. But the question is, are we doing our part? Have we come into the yoke? Are we involved? Are we doing the things that God wants to do? Not just doing things, and the church is just full of things. People just doing things, and doing this, and doing that, you know? We do that because it's tradition in the church, and we have a spring revival, and we have this revival, and we do all of these things, but is that what God wants to be done? Amen? The Apostle Paul speaks of two covenants in Galatians. Galatians 4:24. Amen? Which things are an allegory. Now, an allegory is a story or something to explain or teach a lesson or an idea. Amen? It's an allegory. For these, there are two covenants. The one from Mount Sinai, which gathers to bondage, which is Agar. That's Galatians 4:24. But when God instituted this covenant in the wilderness of Sinai, He did not intend to lead the children of Israel into bondage. Nevertheless, the covenant failed. Just because God established his covenant did not mean it was going to be successful. God established the covenant, but it failed because the children of Israel did not do what they wanted to do. God did not fail, the children of Israel failed. God completed all of his responsibilities in the situation, even though God accomplished his part, the very thing he instituted to bring life brought death. Now we need to really focus in on what I'm going to be saying here, okay? Why? Because the children of Israel did not keep their part in the covenant. Amen? The common theme of every covenant which God makes with everyone is life. Every time, everything that we enter into God, his purpose and his intention is to bring life to that. Not just life that a mother gives to a baby, but God's intention is to bring the life of God, the Zoe life, the life to where we can touch people's hearts, to where we can reach out and touch someone that is suffering. We can reach out and we can bless our brothers and our sisters. That is the common theme of every covenant that God makes with everyone, and that is life. And outside of God's covenant, there is no life. There's no life. There's no relationship. Anything outside of God, there is only death. And every time that we are outside of God, every relationship that we enter into, all we can bring into that relationship, the only thing we can add to that person, that relationship, is death. Wow. If one chooses to negate his part in his covenant coming into the yoke, then he has forfeited life and has gone into bondage. Our part of the yoke is to bring us to the life of God. That's God's intention, to bring us into the yoke and work with him. That's what he wants when he puts that yoke around our neck, like an oxen, you know, yoke here and yoke here. And that is to bring us into that yoke so that he can bring us to the life of God. We have a choice of either coming into bondage or life. That's the only two choices we have. And God desires to bring us into the yoke, to work with him and just bring us into him so that he can bring us into his life. For him, there is no fulfillment of the covenant of God. The failure of man's part destroys the full intention of the covenant of God, resulting in bondage and death. But God never fails. Upon his foundation, man can write his own guarantee. God never fails. And upon this foundation, God never fails, man can write his own guarantee. Because God is sure. John 10:28 says, "And I will give thee eternal life, that they shall never perish. They shall never, or shall any man pluck them out of the hands." Now I know this verse right here is a lot of Southern Baptist churches especially establish this once saved, always saved doctrine. And that's always open for discussion. But I know that a street or a road always goes both ways. And I'll just kind of leave that alone. Amen? But the success of the covenant between you and God does not depend upon, it does not depend upon what the enemy is doing. Amen? Amen? The third party, the enemy, or even your brother or sister of the Lord, has not the power to make your covenant with God succeed, nor does he have the power to make it fail. Nothing, even Satan, has the power to cause our unfaithfulness in God. Wow. I'm going to let that sink in for a second. nothing, even Satan, does not have the power to cause our unfaithfulness or our failure in God to happen. The only person that can cause us to fail, the only person that can cause us to be unfaithful is us. There's nobody else, not my wife, not my brother, not my sister, not the devil, not the pastor. The only person that will cause me to be unfaithful to God is me. We are responsible for making God's covenant. We're coming into that yoke in failure or success. The fulfillment of our responsibility will be found in the dedication to the Lord. If we remain dedicated to Him rather than to the world, rather than to ourselves, our success is true and assured. There is nothing able to take us out of the hand of God. As long as we are yoked with Him, as long as we are with Him, as long as we are moving with Him, as long as we are dedicated to Him, as long as we are committed to Him, then and only then can no one take us out of the hand. And our success is sure. Our success is sure, and there's nothing ever to go ahead and bring defeat in our life as long as we are dedicated to Him. The world can't do it. Nothing can't do it. The only thing can do it is when we go ahead and we step out of what God wants for our life. Victory is only found in God. Defeat for a Christian, no matter the situation, is only found outside of God and outside of His purpose. Amen? So that's very reassuring tonight for those that are looking, especially over the internet, that are living in tough situations and areas where maybe their life might be put up on the line. But I will tell you, there is no situation, there is no circumstance in our life that will be able to move us out of God as long as we stay committed and dedicated and moving into Him. The difficulty in maintaining our dedication is in the trials and the difficult situations, the testings, the trainings, the learnings, and the becoming conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. Wow. The difficulty in maintaining our dedication is found in all of these testings. And of course, that is God's plan. That's God's grand goal in our life, is to conform us into the character and the image of Jesus Christ. That message is lost a lot to the church. Everybody's looking for miracles. Everybody's looking for blessings. This one guy came to my house today and said, "How you doing?" He said, "I'm too blessed to be stressed." And I thought, my Lord, holy cow. All these nice cliches, you know. But the message of being conformed into the image of God, or into Jesus Christ, that's God's grand goal. But that it's being lost in all of this other stuff that that seems to be in the church. But that is God's goal in our life, and that is to conform us into the character and image of Jesus Christ. And He will do whatever it takes, whatever we will allow Him to do that. No matter the situation or the testing or the trial or whatever, God will use all of these areas in our lives to go ahead and conform us into His image. Amen? Because God is concerned about our character. He's very, very much concerned about our character. Because God knows if He can get our character to look like His dear Son, well, then we can come into that yoke together and we'll be able to do the work that needs to be done. Amen. There is one thing to keep in mind, and that is the trials and the testings and the trainings are not permanent. The trials and the training and the testings are not permanent. Always remember, joy comes in the morning. We are in constant transition, and everybody should say, amen. We should never, ever stay stagnant in God. We should never, ever want to be happy where we are in God. There always should be a transition point from where we are moving forward. Peter tells us to grow, therefore, in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're to constantly be in this transition point. All of the mechanics of our spiritual training and learning are on the scene only for a short time. Let me say that again. All of the mechanics, all of those trials, all of those testings, all of those difficulties, all of those grinding, all of those things in our life that we don't like, but what they're doing, they're conforming us into the image and character of Jesus Christ. They are spiritual training, and they are on the scene of our life for a short period of time. Change in God is constant. That is one thing you can always bank on, that there is to be change. And they are the tools used by God to bring us onward to a greater spiritual height. That's God's goal. To take all of these areas and use them as tools to bring us on to greater spiritual heights. So, Gay, you were talking about your friend. You know, guess what? God is using her as a tool to work on your character. And my character. You know, out of our mouth speaks our heart, right?
Yes, I just want to get along. I want to...
Amen. Amen.
I don't like all this...
Amen.
This character building.
Amen. Well, that's God's method. That's God's method of making us look like His Son. When the job is done, the tool is put away. Let me say that again. When the job is done, when that area that God is working in your life, when that is done, the tool is put away. But the work the tool did is taken with you. It's something that you can have. So God will use this brother or sister, or he'll use whatever, sickness, bankruptcy, whatever, to go ahead and conform us into the character and image of His Son. And after that, that is taken away, but what is not taken away is the work that God does in our life. The work is that God worked in us is what He uses to continue to build us into the image of His dear Son, Jesus Christ. The only thing we'll be able to take to heaven from this earth is the work that God has done in our life. That is the only thing. We can't take anything else. The only thing we can take to heaven is the work that He has done in our life. When the children of Israel left Sinai, they left behind their trials and their testings, but they took with them all that God had accomplished in them. Wow. So too in our lives, building upon building. And as we come into the yoke of the Lord, as we come and we work together with the Lord, and then as the Lord begins to work in our life, it can be a painful process, but it is building on building. Building on building. Some parting thoughts. God may have us under pressure where there is no water and there's no spiritual blessing. We are there for a special work. When God completes His work in us, we leave behind all of the unpleasantries and take with us God's work of art, which is eternal. You know, God can wipe away all tears, but as He wipes away all tears and He takes away the tools that He uses to build us more and more into the character and the image of His Son, His dear Son, Jesus Christ, there will be a greater weight of glory. There will be a greater glory that will be in our life. And upon the completion of a set of fine cabinets, the cabinet maker installs the finished product in our kitchen. He does not bring the tools to mount them in our kitchen as showpieces. His tools have been put away. The trials and tribulations are not going to last forever. No, they're not. They are simply tools used to build something which will last forever. Paul said it this way, "For I reckon," that word reckon is known by personal experience. And Paul can tell you that he reckoned he had a lot of personal experiences, that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be. That word shall is a future tense based on present time work. Now that's a very important word there. Shall be revealed in us. And that's a future tense based on something going on right now in our life. Boy, that's powerful right there. Amen. Romans 8:18. Amen. Our life in God is only one test or one tribulation away from even greater life. Our life in God is only one test, one tribulation away from even greater life in God. And that's only found in the wilderness. And again, as we look at the wilderness is a place that if you look at it, it's barren, it's dark, and there's no life. But it's in the wilderness, it's in these tough times, in these difficult areas in our life, that we come to know God. It is in the wilderness. Psalms 8:5 says, who was he coming up out of the wilderness leaning on the Beloved? It is in the wilderness we learn who God is to us. And we can allow him to conform us into the character and the image of his dear Son, Jesus Christ. Two in one yoke. The Lord is waiting for us to come into the yoke with him so that he can always bring us into a greater life. That is God's intention when he calls us alongside of him into that yoke to work with him and do those things. But his intention to bring us there is to bring us to a greater life that is only found in him. Our Heavenly Father, as we come to you now, dear Lord, we thank you. We praise you for your love and your mercy. Father, Lord, we love you, Father, Lord God. We thank you, Father, Lord God. And even this Thanksgiving season, Father, Lord, let us give thanks, Father, Lord God, for trials and tribulations and areas in our life, Father, Lord God, that you use as a tool. As a tool, Father, Lord God, to chip away at our character and hone us closer to you, Father, Lord, so that you can conform us into the image and character of your dear Son, Jesus Christ. And we just love you and we thank you, Father, Lord. This is a deeper teaching, Father, Lord God, but it's a teaching that brings us to life. And we just thank you and we praise you, Father, Lord. And we give you the honor and the privilege. And we pray these things in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.